But even if there is no external validation, right? Even if there is nobody telling you, hey, you're doing the right job. Hey, if you're not getting all the accolades, even if you're not picking up anything. I'm just really proud of the fact that we are solving something which impacts a million people a second. Now, if that is something that doesn't bring joy to you, I don't know what will. Impacting a million people at any given second, if that's and that's where you're headed, and you have a community who is also helping you do this, you're leading a movement, so to say. So, and even if there is no external validation, that I think that's something that I'll be really proud of. My name is Cherish. I'm the founding member and head of community at Sava Labs.
This is Code Story, the podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries who share in the critical moments of what it takes to change an industry and build and lead a team that has your back. I'm your host, Noah Labhart, and today how Cherish Santoshi set out to build an auth solution to further the passwordless revolution. All this and more on Code Story. Cherish Santoshi started his professional career when he was just 18. He plays music, being a one-man band, through his guitar, bass, and drum skills. He's even got a studio set up at home and enjoys lo-fi hip-hop, especially when he's working. Cherish reads and watches a lot of content, specifically around theoretical thought experiments, which help him to think about things from a different angle. Along with this, he likes to travel, to get out, see the world, and experience new people and new ways of thinking. He likes to interact with founders and startup folks, which make his current role as head of community a perfect fit. Being startup-minded, he set out with his founding members to continue the growth of SaaS in India, and build a product specifically for the developer community, and building an auth product that furthers the passwordless revolution. This is the creation story of Savo.
Savo is an auth SDK that helps developers and businesses to enable passwordless logins on their web and mobile apps. It helps you create OTP-less passwordless login flows, so your user could just click on login without password and just directly log into your app. It helps the businesses to reduce their bounce rate, their churn rate, and improve the overall user onboarding journey as a whole, right? So that's what we do. So it's a developer-facing product. It's a SaaS dev tool in India, you know, and SaaS is picking up in India, especially dev tools. I take care of the community here at Savo. I take care of three verticals. The first is developer marketing, which means how the developers find the product, right? How they get aware about the product itself. The second is developer experience, which means how they consume the product from end to end, everything that helps them create and build using Savo. And the third is community management, which means if anybody has ever interacted with Savo and they're willing to be a part of a passwordless revolution, we want them. And we want them to kind of interact with each other, so everybody learns from them, they learn from everybody. And it's an ecosystem that just promotes product culture here at Savo and everywhere we go.
So being one of the founding members, you were right around, you know, the out of the gates MVP. So tell me a little bit about that first product that you built as a team, you know, the product, the community, how long it took you to build and what sort of tools you used to bring it to life.
So the company was founded in August 28, 2020. And we started with two member team, and Ayushi and Sakshi, you know, were the first two members. And from there on, we went on to build the community. We went on to build the entire product on Java as like the core framework. Now the reason for that was that Java is something which is usually like the comfortable stack to kind of work with for any developer or co-founder, and it's easier to kind of get source the talent, right? Of course, that is something that seemed like a short-term benefit that we had to do, and that's something that we started building on. Within a few months, we had within 3 to 4 months, we had like enough traction to kind of go out in the market and showcase our product. But before that, I think the idea and the stack and the MVP was good enough that we got VC interest before pre-incorporation, right? So just as we were incorporated, we picked up a seed funding of $840K from investors, and then we went on to actually pick up seed round much later here in December. And that's what we did. So within like a span of 4 months, we picked up two raises. Within span of 2 months, I want to say, we closed two rounds of funding. And then we had the capacity and the bandwidth to change the stack and hire move towards something which is far more scalable and even more niche, right? Even if that comes at like a costlier talent, right?
In that 3 to 4 month time frame, you mentioned the two C's, but even prior to that, you have to make certain decisions and trade-offs when you're building an MVP, right? About, what features you're going to start with, which means which features you're going to cut or what technical debt you're going to accept. So tell me about some of those decisions and trade-offs you had to make as a team and how you coped with them.
So multiple, right? So because we picked up Java at the beginning and then we moved on to Django, there was a lot of restructuring that had to do in terms of the product roadmap, in terms of features. But I think that came at the right point in time, and that was a trade-off that we were willing to do. Because, when we had picked up funding, obviously Django seems far more scalable to the use cases that we serve, and we could hire the talent once we had the funding out of the way. Because of that, we kind of floated initially, but that came with certain technical debt that we kind of solved for the next few months. That's something that we had to do initially. And the second thing that we realized much long ago, right, and especially in like Q1 of 2021, was that although when it comes to the API usage, right, like of course you will use more auth APIs or like more calls per se, more authentications in general if you're a bigger company, but the average life cycle of closing an enterprise company is far more than closing like smaller scale startups, developers and product, product managers, community, and which are very product centric small communities. So we moved on to pivot our strategy from skipping the enterprises and taking a community first, small companies, enterprises, small medium businesses to kind of go out and actually sell there. Now, the reason, and we realized this very early, and this is where I came into picture when I spoke to Prabhat, who's the founder and the CEO at Savo Labs. Prabhat and I were discussing that when you're making a dev tool, right, the person who has the influence of using the tool will always be a developer. I mean, I'm sure the person who will write the check will probably be a CTO, a founder, or a director, right? And they'll have that technical mentality probably. But they will always make sure that they get the buy-in from their actual developers before they actually write you a check and buy that product. So it made sense for us to kind of make that developer community, reach out to these people, understand what we're building for them is actually solving for them, solving the use cases that they want, build with them, make sure that our documentation is easily understandable, easily consumable, and they are able to play around with it and make sure that it fits almost everywhere we want to go. So we made sure that our product was built with the community. Now, even now, right, the community is somebody who, like, community is a great entity for us, because I always say that their feedback is gold for us, because we take their feedback, we vet it, and then we put it on our roadmap. And once we have implemented that, we go back to the community and tell them, hey, thanks so much for doing this for us. And we want to make sure that we incentivize you and we cherish you. And we also make sure that we appreciate you in whatever possible way. And that's why we spend a lot. And that's why we encourage a huge community culture, product culture here at Savo.
So from that point, post 3 to 4 months, you've got the seeds. You're encouraging community, which is fantastic. How did you progress the product from there and mature it? And even as a company, how did you build your roadmap and figure out, okay, this is the next most important thing to build, or this is the next most important, key element to drive the community in interaction?
We've always prioritized functionality before features. And when you have a dev tool, you want to make sure that before you add on features like, different dashboard customizations, you want to make sure that you're compatible to all the tech stacks that you want to serve. And not just that, you want to make sure that you have your presence towards a lot of no-code platforms or web platforms like Bubble, Shopify, right? So we started building for them in Q2 2021, in fact, Q1 to Q2 2021. And we built a lot of, hybrid platforms for Flutter. We built a lot for WooCommerce websites. We started building for Shopify, Bubble, and, these no-code platforms as well. We made sure that we have like an SDK available for iOS, Android, web, hybrid, Flutter, name any developer, name any, stack, we kind of built it for them. And of course, Savo, because it's an OTP-less and a password-less, SDK, it also gives you the iframe that you can embed in your login activity or login screen, that helps you, that helps the user kind of go through the entire process in as seamless way as possible. And as we progress further, the iframes got a little more customization. We could add multiple custom fields. We gave a bunch of colors. We introduced dark themes. And that's something that, you know, a lot of users, especially developers, really, they take a lot of pride in what they've created. And once they started doing that, right, they realized that any iframe that wasn't necessarily working out in the entire theme of their entire product, they're like, huh, this is something that I would like to change. And that's why we moved on to giving them the customization and UI UX changes. And we also have a CAPTCHA on our roadmap. That's something that we're going to put forward and make sure that our community is helping us building a CAPTCHA. That's also going to be a part of our roadmap. The last thing I want to say, which is on our roadmap, is going to be like a self-checkout mechanism for a lot of e-commerce and D2C websites. Because it's very important whenever you're making a transaction that you'll have to authenticate yourself a bunch of times. So we want to make sure that journey is as easy as authenticate a shop, authenticate an order placed, you know, just like two-step or four-step kind of journey.
So this next question will be interesting. Given so much community involvement in the product, how did you go about building your team? And your team, you know, seems like it could extend out into that community too. So how are you approaching building your team, and what do you look for in those people to indicate that they're the winning horses to join you?
Savo has a great leadership. Most of them, you know, are really young, driven people. All of us are in our 20s, really inspired, really excited people who've come from all walks of life. I happen to come from, companies like Google, Amazon, HackerEarth, you know, bigger names in the industry. But I've always jumped from like a bigger company to a smaller one, only to understand that startups is where learnings lie. Startup is where you can break things, you can make things, and you can wear multiple hats, right? So you see the bigger picture far more clearly. And others as well, right? A lot of our founding members, they come from the very fresh perspective of building product. They're not somebody who have bogged down by the capacity of what is something that you can do, what is their spend capacity. They have that entire growth mindset and product mindset. That's something that we look forward to when we hire. Our hiring has always been a little challenging because the bar has been usually very high. But the good thing about the team is that we've only, I think, in the last 1 year since the company was incorporated, maybe just 6 to 10 people left the company and the rest kind of stayed. We've grown from 2 people from last year to 50 now, and that's where we're headed. We're growing at a very rapid pace. So whenever you're working in a startup, right, I don't want to, this is a common culture in India that a lot of managers micromanage. And especially with remote work, they want to make sure that, you know, every work or every hour or every minute is accounted for. Startup leaders do not have the bandwidth to do because they have their own work, you know, and they can't actually go out and do that. So the things that I look forward to whenever I hire are ownership, which means that you will look at the job from end to end. And you'll not a single iota of the entire program or the product should be like, this is beyond my scope and hence I cannot contribute, right? That's something that's non-negotiable. The second is integrity. Startups have moved things really quick, right? So there's not a lot of hierarchy, red tapism, a lot of things in the process that's going to drill down on, you know, your ethics or your work ethics. So then hence there's a lot of freedom that is given to the employee. So integrity comes into play. And the third is intelligence. You might do all the right things and all the right time, but you know, making sure that you have the capacity to think, and you have the capacity to assimilate and analyze situations and products and features and communities and decisions in a way that makes sense is something which is extremely important for us. That's something that I look at, and the team that I know, we have a fantastic sales team. Mukund leads that. We have a great product team. Ayushi leads that. Sakshi leads marketing, and I lead community. And we also have Soumya, who's also, leads the tech part, and Manjula, who leads HR. Prabhat is our co-founder and CEO at Savo. He's the brain behind hiring all these masters.
So let's flip the scalability a little bit then. So, you know, did you and the team build this to scale efficiently from day one, or are you fighting this as you grow? And that can be, you know, that could be technically, that could be team-wise, that could be community, all of the above. Tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, we've always built to kind of scale. And the reason for that is auth itself is a very difficult problem to solve, right? Now, it's not something that just comes at OTPs, passwords, and you're through, right? Like, it's a bigger identity. Auth is like a problem of identity management, which is a bigger circle in itself. India being the marketplace for like, and has a people of 1.4 billion, right? So the kind of people who are using internet and using products, right, it's only going to increase. Now, a lot of companies will realize that whenever they want to create, you know, generate more business, the options are to either sell to Western countries who have deeper pockets and more propensity to pay, or just move into core regions of India, right? Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and towns. Now you'll see that a lot of like Apna, who is a great example, who moved towards internally in India and actually went out to kind of build a hiring platform for Tier 2, Tier 3 cities, right? Now, that's something that you'll realize that India is a huge country with a great, huge population. And every product is actually moving towards, moving internally in India as well, as much as they're moving outside. So solving auth as a problem is something that we have to solve at a larger scale. You can't do one-off and then scale when a company moves expanded. So even today, as we speak, Savo can take 1 million auths any given second simultaneously. So 1 million auths per second is something that we can do today. And I think that seems like a good place to start. And we'll obviously scale further to kind of build. And this is a great testament to kind of justify how we've built for scale. Prabhat, I remember speaking to Prabhat when he was watching a very popular OTT platform. And this OTT platform that we speak of has 84 lakh or like 90 lakh people sometimes, which, to put in American perspective, that's like 9 million people watching at any given second, right? And sometimes even one, more than that, 12, 15 million people. So, and if imagine if all of them try to log in at any second, you have to, and if that's the kind of product that we're building for and we want them to use Savo, we have to build for scale. And that's where we had it.
1 million auths per second is radical. Fantastic. That's really great. Well, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built, what are you most proud of?
This question has a lot of duality. And then, of course, there are a few things that you're proud of today, but only to be surprised and surpassed by tomorrow. So the kind of product that we've built, I like the fact that a lot of investors have shown a lot of confidence in us, right? The fact that we've picked funding ways, simultaneously, and there are people who have valued the company, far and beyond that anybody would have expected, goes on to say that the kind of product and the kind of team that we've built is like a huge testament of the, so we're solving the right things in the right way with the right people, right? It's a great testament. That's something that you kind of fall back to when you look at what are you most proud of. But even if there is no external validation, right? Even if there is nobody telling you, hey, you're doing the right job. Hey, if you're not getting all the accolades, even if you're not picking up anything, I'm just really proud of the fact that we're solving something which impacts a million people a second. Now, if that is something that doesn't bring joy to you, I don't know what will. Impacting a million people at any given second, if that's, and that's where you're headed, and you have a community who is also helping you do this, you're leading a movement, so to say. So, and even if there is no external validation, that I think that's something that I'll be really proud of. I really like that everybody in the entire company kind of believes and like really motivated, and you can hear the passion in my voice as much as you can hear in theirs, right? That they're really proud of what they're doing. So really, we're just focused on solving the right problems at the right time with the right people, and that's what I'm proud of, with or without external validations.
So let's flip the script a little bit, Cherish. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
So the two mistakes are two trade-offs, so to say. I mean, in hindsight, you could call the mistake or not. But if it worked out well, was it a mistake or a learning? Of course, moving, changing stack was something that that we had to do. Changing our tech initially from, to Django created a lot of technical debt that we had to kind of take care of for a longer period of time. And that slowed down a bunch of high priority things that we had to do. But, it came in handy because now the product is, far more scalable and does way more than we initially, it was set out to do. The second thing is that we spent a decent amount of time kind of cracking the enterprise sales way. But we have learned that, going a bottom-up strategy, which means ensuring that the community or the market is first on board with you, then you build the ops to cater that ops and programs to cater to that need, and then you go to strategy to approve, fund, and evangelize all those things, right? That's the bottom up strategy that we used, and I'm glad that we kind of found it the right way. And another thing is that this helped us kind of pivot our entire enterprise thinking to more going out and selling directly to the customers, going out and selling directly to the developers, product managers, co-founders themselves, and not necessarily get bogged down by the average sales cycle of a huge company. It played out probably for the best, because looking back at it, these learnings came in really early, and now we're in a good shape to kind of keep an eye for whatever similar kind of mistakes or similar mindset whenever we see them. And another thing that we kind of keeps us away from mistakes is the outside perspective that we have from the community. And because you work in the same product with the same people with the same team, you may have tunnel vision, but we also have a lot of developers, customers who can give us the feedback, and we've always kept our feedback channel open, so that keeps us on the right track at most of the times.
Well, this will be fun to ask this question. So what does the future look like for the product, for the team, and for the community?
Couple of things that we're building when it comes to product is one of the things is self-checkout mechanism, right? Like I spoke of very briefly, that we're building a mechanism where you can walk through an entire e-commerce journey with very minimal friction. We're doing this for e-commerce website, no-code platforms, WooCommerce, Shopify, and also D2C platforms, right? Direct customer people, D2C platforms. Now, this is something that we are kind of building upon. We are also doing CAPTCHA, which is also like a significant part of auth and like identity management in general. That's where the product is headed. We're obviously going to scale our stack. We're going to be available on more platforms where developers can find, and they can usually, it's like a plug-and-play solution for them. We're going to make sure that using Savo is as efficient as possible. On the community side, from when it comes to product side, we'll make sure that it is, it can take far more authentication than it can today, even though we're doing a massive run in that sense, but I think we can go further, and we're obviously going to make sure that our product is not only robust, but also versatile and has the durability of kind of taking a lot of load at the same time. That's where the product is headed. I think there are 16 million odds that kind of go out every second, that every day we consume 8 to 16 odds every day, and we're going to make sure that that increases as well. That's where we headed. When it comes to team, we're looking at expanding at a rapid pace. Like I told you, we've moved from a team member of 2 to 50 today. We're going to scale furthermore. We're always hiring, so if there is anybody who's listening here, you know whom to contact. You can find us on LinkedIn and let us know if you want to join the fantastic team. That's where we headed, and we also will be looking at expanding internationally if things go right, and hopefully we'll be able to tell you very soon.
So let's switch to you, Jerish. Who influences the way that you work? Name a CEO, CTO, an architect, really any person that you look up to, and why?
I quite like Naval Ravikant. I think like the kind of way that he looks at products and the kind of he looks at market is very stoic, so to say. He's usually not not involved in the optics too much, and he takes a backseat and looks at things in a very rational, very nonchalant way. That's something that I really enjoy. And I think I draw inspiration from a lot of unknown or unfamiliar faces, right? So if you ask any person who's a community, is a founding member, that where do you draw inspiration from? And they would probably tell you very usual suspects, right? Like people who've built communities for years and years, and especially DevRel communities, developer communities. But I think the inspiration usually comes in a very surprising, in a very humble way. Like the way that I was telling you initially, that when I get to travel, I travel to a place called Meghalaya. Meghalaya has a tribe called Khasi tribe. Now, this is a tribe that has built bridges from banyan trees. So what they do is that imagine there's a river flowing down below, right? They'll plant two banyan trees on the either end of the river, and then they'll make sure that the roots are headed towards each other. they direct the roots to kind of go and intermingle and kind of entangle with each other on the other end of the spectrum. And then once they kind of build that, right, they become like a really strong bridge. It costs them nothing, right? And the average, like, the as the time passes by, as opposed to a modern architecture which weakens over time, the roots strengthen, the grip becomes stronger, the entanglement gets stronger, right? And this lasts far more. The way they've used the resources that was available to them without spending any cost, and it actually turned out way better than modern architecture. And it's a community that is not necessarily known, right? It's not a community that shows their intellectual prowess. But the kind of things that you can learn from them comes in a very humble and very nice way, that this is something that you can learn from, you know, and it doesn't have to be a co-founder, CTO, architect in any sense. You can learn things, you know, as you go along. You know, you just have to be open and absorb that whenever you can.
Well, last question, Cherish. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world. They can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
This is something that I would say, that as we move towards a Web 3.0 world where individuality is kind of the center, right? People want to make everything decentralized. The focus on the user has become even more. And the stake of any user in your company's success has become even more. A lot of blockchain companies, a lot of crypto, they have more stake about in the community than they have themselves, right? So to build something which is future ready, and and if the person claims that it's the next big thing which is shown off to the world, I would want them to have that selfless attitude that the center of the company's success is a community of individuals who are not only shaping the product but also have the stake in what you're building. The ownership that they have, right, in the product, and the feedback that they will give you in the product will only be more thorough, will only be more compassionate, will only be more valuable and impactful if they have some stake in it, right? That's something that I would tell them, that build it for people, not just like at users but also as like stakeholders, and make sure that they're, you know, part and parcel of every process that you own, because that's where we're headed. And I want to make sure that this is something that I would really like to see from any budding entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Well, Cherish, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling the creation story of Sawo.
Thanks, Noah. Thanks so much. It was lovely talking to you.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Laphart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. Support the show on patreon.com/codestory for just $5 to $10 a month. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.